When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Ducks fans. Welcome to another episode of the Quack Report, a live episode. So thank you to everybody who is tuning in right now. And if you're tuning in afterwards, that is just fine as well. Do just want to let you know that this will be on YouTube. If you do want to check out the video, check out our, honestly, pretty ugly faces if you haven't before, but we'll have some nice visuals potentially to show you. So that aren't
potentially.
Our faces.
Yeah, potentially. No, I'm just kind of seeing with like just how this... You know that iconic picture of The Rock and he's got like the black turtleneck on and the chains and that with my beard covering my neck? I kind of look like I'm rocking that look right now.
You kind of, honestly, kind of, yeah.
Well, like it is just a tight collared sweater. That's all it is.
And a beard.
What's that?
And a beard.
And a beard, yeah. But like it just kind of looked like that for a second. I was like, oh, all right. I'm apparently trying to look like The Rock here.
Way to toot your own horn there. You don't look that good.
Well, I mean, it's a reason to check out YouTube, right? See me look like The Rock.
Like a fat version of The Rock.
Oh. Where's the... Thank you.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You got me in more ways than one.
Until I just insulted you.
I am out of here.
That's it for today's episode. Until I insulted you, you know, live in front of a whole bunch of people on the internet, how was your week going?
It was going pretty good. And, now I just want to crawl in bed and cry.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm kidding. It's been all right. School's school. Pretty
it's going
much.
It's happening. Yeah,
it's going. My god, I was so tired today. Like, I you know it's bad when you have like an energy drink and that does nothing for you.
Yeah,
like I know I can have a decent caffeine tolerance. Like, it's normally not okay. Now here's a Canadian way of, you know, showing how much like it's a Canadian measurement. Here you go. It takes like 3 or 4 large Tim Hortons coffees to like get me buzzing on the caffeine, right? Like, to the point that your hands start to shake a little bit. Like, that's how much it takes. And I was just, but still, like, normally like an energy drink or something like that is like a decent pick me up or whatever. And it did nothing for me today. It was rough sitting in class. I'm just like, oh my god, I'm falling asleep here.
But the shakes that you talk about when you have a few coffees, those scare me so much sometimes. I like start shaking and I'm like, oh my god, is my heart beating fast? And I'm just like freaking the fuck out. And I'm looking, I'm like, how much, or like, how do you know if you're overdosing on caffeine? And then it's something like ridiculous. Like, you'd have to have like 120 coffees. Like extra large coffees or something to overdose on caffeine. So I'm like,
or two energy drinks.
Yeah.
Like, there is a high concentration of caffeine in those for sure. But I mean, there's also a lot of other things. But I mean, like, that's why it has, I think, recommended on the can, like only 1 or 2 a day kind of thing. So just
they're very concentrated. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which again is almost a little concerning that I can have one of those and it not really affect me a whole lot.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. Like, as far back as I can remember, I have not really been able to like get a caffeine or sugar high, or like it takes like, sugar high. I can't get to, but a caffeine high takes a lot to get. Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, you're a big boy.
Yeah.
It's a muscle there.
Yeah. But even so, like, just like when I was younger, even like it took forever pretty much, but so not sure what the cause of that was exactly, but
yeah,
oh well. So
Anyways,
how's your week been so far?
Not too bad. Same. School is school.
Yeah.
Caffeine is necessary.
Yeah. That's about all I have to say. Hockey's been the break.
Yeah, honestly. And a welcome break as well.
Yeah, and at least they were some good games this week as well.
Yeah, all around. So, all my teams are doing great. It's fantastic. So
yeah, I got one team that's doing great. This one specifically that we're going to talk about today. And the other team that we're going to talk about for a quick moment as well is really shitting the bed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I hope the Flames can turn it around against Detroit tomorrow night, or I guess today if you're listening to the podcast version of this as it's released.
Ideally.
But then again, Detroit took Tampa to, what, a 7-6 game, the first game of the season.
That's true.
So, like,
yeah,
the NHL is so hit or miss sometimes, right? Like,
yeah,
there's definitely times where, you know, say, like, the salary cap of trying to create parity in the league feels like absolute bullshit, especially when you take a look at, like, the Stanley Cup winners since it was implemented in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes it actually does kind of work in weird ways, right? Like,
yeah,
Tampa and Detroit. So,
mm-hmm.
But
I mean, to be fair, Tampa was losing to Dylan Larkin for the longest time. He got like four goals that game or something ridiculous. But
yeah, that's true.
Still, so,
yeah. But yeah, it's just, yeah, sometimes it's really, really kind of fuckety. So, and I guess honestly, that's going to be a game as well that we talk about with spoiler, Edmonton and Anaheim as well. That was a little bit of another
fuckety one.
Yeah.
Just word.
Yeah. Like, more so on the Anaheim side, those type of games are exactly what I was expecting from the Oilers this year, but we'll get into it.
Yeah, for sure. Let's play the music and we'll start with Calgary here.
Cool.
So I think I'm probably not going to use this a whole lot this year, so I'm going to use it now. And one more time for good measure. And one more time, just so that we have, you know, the same amount of goals and air horns here. There. I got to get that key in while we're winning games. I have to. A 3-2 win over the Calgary Flames in overtime. Very exciting game to watch, in my opinion. So, as a Flames and a Ducks fan, though, I want your take on it. Like, how were you doing during this game?
I mean, I was very back and forth, obviously. But and it was funny because I was trying to keep it not like I was trying to keep it more biased to the Anaheim side, obviously, with the tweets going out.
Yeah, of course.
To the fact that, like, even when, which this is another thing, like, we can get into it right now, even if you want, though, when that Tkachuk penalty happened, like, I tweeted on the DQR thing of, like, idiot Tkachuk takes a stupid penalty about this on the power play. But, like, it was kind of funny, though, because, like, that was just such an odd, not even a play, but it was a play at the same time. Like, you know, it's really complicated when you, who absolutely hates Matthew Tkachuk, is defending him on the play.
Yeah, like, I was just so confused, man. I get the reason for the penalty. Like, yes, he was on the bench and touched the puck. You can't do that. I understand. But it was this far from like going over the glass behind the bench.
Yeah, so,
and, like, okay, it was gone. Like, they were probably whistle, like, in the mouth, just about to blow it. So
to clarify weird for anybody who by chance missed it or whatnot, Calgary had flipped the puck. It was about to go over the glass, but where the benches were, and Matthew Tkachuk, sitting on the bench, jumped, reached up with his stick, and, like, kind of hit it back into the bench area, preventing it from going over the glass, which would have been a delay of game penalty.
I guess it would have been.
Yeah. So there was really a penalty going either way. In that case, it was more what was being called. So
yeah,
I believe it was, let me just double check this here. I believe it was technically called a bench interference penalty, right? Because it's affecting the play, but from the bench, right? It's not somebody who's on the ice. Mm-hmm. Called for interference at least, but yeah, it would be like bench interference. Mm-hmm. So, but essentially what he did was, you know, like the like it was a baseball play, right? Where it's about to be a home run, but you happen to catch it like when it's outside kind of thing and bring it back in. That's basically what he did. So
that's
he
actually
exactly
a really good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't prevent a penalty as much as he probably thought he could, but it was just, I mean, it was a weird play to do in the first place. And then it was like a weird call that like I was trying to figure out as well as it was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like in the end, it was just like, okay, this is what seems logical to me as to what they're calling.
Yeah.
Right. Cause there wasn't, there's no explanation or anything like that, which again leads me to, I would love to have like an interview with one of the refs after the game. Right.
Yeah,
like have media availability for the refs.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So, cause sometimes that even just enlightens, you know, fans to just what was called, right? And for what reasons and that sort of thing.
Especially
so.
For that obscure one too. Like it's like, obviously the ref is in the right here. It is a bench interference penalty. Like no one's upset about that. Like as a Ducks fan, I was like, okay, yeah, that's let's put Tkachuk in the box for 2 minutes. Love that. And then as a Flames fan, you're like, I can't argue that. Like that's an obvious one.
Yeah, exactly.
One for Tkachuk,
and like, and that's the thing with me that I'm sure you appreciate is I will do my best to not be biased, right, when it comes to the rules or that. And that definitely comes from officiating for as long as I have. That I'm luckily easily able to do that. But I just remember watching that. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah. I do have the video up here that you shared on the Quack Report. I went back and found it here. So just for to include the lovely visuals that we promised.
Yeah. Can you put that full screen?
Sorry that I'm like 78.
It's looking
years
very
old.
Giantal here.
I mean, first of all, what a sick vertical.
Oh, yeah. Matthew Tkachuk needs to be signed by the Calgary Roughnecks right now.
Yeah, or the Toronto Raptors, like take.
Yeah, or the Raptors, like yeah, exactly. You want to play? You want to play basketball? You want to play lacrosse? Like, just sign Matthew Tkachuk up. Apparently.
Yeah, like I guess he's American, so he might not want to play for the Raptors, but
yeah, I don't know. It
depends.
But then again, you are in the basketball world, at least in like for Canadian basketball fans, you are a god essentially if you play for the Raptors and do well, right?
Yeah, like, and do well. That's the key.
Yeah. So. But it's just watching that. It's just like on both sides. I'm just thinking, the fuck was that?
Yeah. Was there an interview with Tkachuk after the game? Because I want to know what was going through his head. Was he Saint Tkachuk being like, oh my god, I know that there's a kid sitting like right behind me. I'm gonna save that kid from getting smacked with a puck. Or
I'm sure
maybe he
was
like, I don't want this kid to have a puck and make his night. So fuck you.
I'm sure there was an interview. I didn't see it or
not that you
like
saw
that,
anyways
but
yeah.
I'm sure there was one, considering it's, you know, it's Matthew Tkachuk. It's one of the one of the top guys for the Flames, right? Those are the guys they normally interview, but
because I meant to look for it and I totally forgot, but I figured you might have stuck around afterwards and saw like the post game or something.
I hadn't
seen. I don't blame you for not. I was just curious, so
but I guess getting to the rest of the game here, like it was a good game. I'll nitpick here, but it's a pretty large nitpick, I want to say, except for that second period. That was rough. That was all Calgary possession.
Yeah, I don't think that's a nitpick. I think that's an issue. Like,
that honestly, this game could have been 4-1 after the second period.
If not for John Gibson. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that was nuts. And I mean, okay, I'm going to divert to another point here that we have here. Mm-hmm. Gibson in, again, two games that he's played versus Winnipeg and Calgary, small sample size, not so much the sample size of the saves he has made though in these two games. Mm-hmm. This game against Calgary, 41 saves on 43 shots. Mm-hmm. And over the two games against Winnipeg and Calgary, 74 saves on 77 shots.
That's insane, dude.
So, yeah, Gibson is, you know, hanging in there. And again, we normally see this from Gibson, though, especially early on in the season. He's on another level that we expect from him. But as the season goes on and he gets played more and more, is when he starts to falter off. Mm-hmm. This is what I want consistently throughout the season, and that's on Dallas Eakins to make Gibson take a step back every once in a while to give Stolarz an extra game to make sure that Gibson is rested and continuing to be, you know, at this point, mentally and physically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And I think the team plays better when Gibson is on as well.
Yeah.
So, and also to add on to that, they play differently in front of Stolarz, I noticed, like really watching these games back to back. It's, I don't want to say drastically different, but I don't know. Something was just different, and I haven't quite figured out what it is yet. Maybe you have an idea of what was different.
Well, it's
between
it's
the way the Ducks played, but
I think I know what you mean by they play a little bit differently. I think it does come down to the goaltending styles, right? Where Gibson is very technical, everything remains in close. Mm-hmm. Where with his rebound control, it's very much absorption, right? He keeps the puck close to him. Whereas Stolarz is very much, I'm punching this thing, trying to like push it past the defense essentially of the other team, or I'm trying to throw it into the corner essentially off the blocker or that's off the pad.
That's so a really good point, and I never would have picked up on that. So
so it's just kind of the different way that they play a shot essentially, I think, is what kind of causes the different way, right? So like with Gibson and Net, they're a little bit more collapsed, right? Trying to make sure that nobody gets into that area around him. And with Stolarz, you're trying to keep everything to the outside more so.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. 100%. Yeah. I think that's a really good way of putting it. So nicely done.
Thank you.
To build off your point there of the second period looking quite rough, they did come out in the third very strong. Not even just come out, like they played the third period very strong. It paid off because they tied up the game and, you know, put Calgary kind of back on their heels a little bit. So I thought that was good. Looking at natural stat trick, though, the high danger chances for and against, they still had the Ducks giving up 7 and only getting 2 high danger chances. So I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that. I'd probably have to watch the game a little closer. But I definitely thought the Ducks, I don't want to say they outplayed the Flames, but I feel like, I don't know. I don't know how to put it.
In the 2 periods that the Ducks were actually playing, I would say that it was at least even.
Yeah.
What, you know, made it look drastically different, though, in the shots and whatnot was that second period for sure, right? Because, I mean, you take a look. Oh, actually, maybe even the first period was not too great either. Shots on goal per period. The first period was 16-7 for Calgary.
Yeah, from what I remember, they had a pretty slow start to the period. Yeah. So,
second period was 14-9 for Calgary, and third period was 12-8. Overtime is where Anaheim took over. Again, small sample size there, but 3-1 for shots.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And it paid off too. Oh,
yeah. Which also, can we talk for a quick second on how much just there's an improvement already. We actually won an overtime game. And not even that, we got past the first 15 seconds of overtime.
Yeah, right.
Without fucking up.
As soon as like we tied, I was like, okay, this is sick. But like, are we
going to overtime? All right. Like, so Flames win.
Yeah. And then overtime started. We won the faceoff. I was like, okay, who's going to cough up the puck? Who's on the ice? And then we like had a couple good chances. And I was like, we're like a minute into overtime. This is
what's going on here?
Okay. And then we got to talk about my boy, Troy Terry.
All right. What about him?
What do you mean, what about him? Did you see the fucking moves he put on Monahan and then Goudreau and then that pass to Drysdale in overtime?
I did see it. I just wanted you to talk about it.
Shit. Oh, man. That was nice. That was so nice.
It was very good. And Drysdale in overtime. Did we actually see that last year at all? I can't recall off the top of my head.
Drysdale
either way,
overtime?
That looked good, though, because. Yes, he's an offensive defenseman, but even because I was watching the Calgary broadcast, right? Because I have Sportsnet, we're in Canada and that kind of thing. And, but they were even commenting on Drysdale's play, right? Like how he's normally known for offense, but his defensive game was looking very good. Mm-hmm. And
I had to agree with it. Like, until overtime,
looking,
but
yeah, he's looking really good this year. Like, and it's, you have to remind yourself, this kid, and I can actually say that I'm 5 years older than him, almost six. Yeah. This kid is only 19.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing that good.
Yeah. Who was
That's
the
impressive?
Who was the guy that he fought off in overtime? Was it, I feel like it was Blake Coleman. You know the play I'm talking about? There was a Flames guy driving the net in overtime, and he got like kind of got inside position on him and like didn't like slew foot him, but like shoved him back with his arm and poked the puck off his stick.
Coleman or Backlund, maybe?
It might have been Backlund.
Yeah.
It also might have been Lindholm. It was a big guy, anyways.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say.
I can't remember who it was offhand, but
it was a very veteran play, though.
Looking good. Yeah, he's looking very good.
Honestly, I'm kind of regretting putting my money on Zegras for the Calder, because I think it could be Drysdale.
It could be.
It depends on his offensive production.
Like very early on, but...
Yeah, like if he doesn't put up the points, he's not going to be in contention for it, which is unfortunate, but...
Okay, well, maybe this is stretching it a little bit, but what about the Norris?
Yeah, I feel like that's a bit of a stretch, but ask me that again in 3 years down the line, and he's got my vote.
I mean, what, Adam Fox is 23, 24? He just won it last year.
Yeah.
It's normally a trophy that, like an individual award, that your minimum at least getting to UFA age before you're winning that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's possible, and I think it's even more possible just because, you know, we've talked about it before multiple times, the NHL is becoming a young man's game, right? Mm-hmm. So having those younger guys winning those types of awards is going to become more commonplace, I believe.
For sure, especially with Cale Makar coming up and really looking like he's entering his prime. Honestly, he's not even really entering his prime for a defenseman.
Not even already, yet.
Which
That's
is terrifying.
Terrifying.
Yeah. So, like, I think he's going to have a tough time competing with Makar for the Norris. Like, it's going to be a tough sell to tell people that Drysdale should get the Calder over Makar in any given year. I'm not saying it's impossible, but Makar looks so good, man.
Yeah, he really does. So, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, Drysdale is looking great in this game.
Yeah, for sure.
Special teams, you know, it was continuing in this game to do well. 1-for-2 on the power play. The penalty kill was 100%.
Yeah.
Like, last year we would have been like, that's a incorrect stat. But, and like, that was for like any night, basically. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. Like, obviously, again, it would have been a lot nicer if we had actually done something in the second period. Because, like, take a look at that second goal that was scored against during that period. We were gassed. We could not get the puck out of the zone to save our lives.
Yeah, that was tough. You could tell there was one coming there.
Yeah, you could. So. Yeah, you just momentum. You could just feel it went the other way. So
yeah, to be fair, a big part of that is the long change in the second period. So
yeah.
Give them the benefit of the doubt there, but
still,
with how bad they looked in the second period altogether, Stellaris has to do something to try and get that puck out, or like you just got to take an icing.
That was Gibson in that game, but yeah, I totally get what you mean. But was it also not the fourth line that was out for that?
I don't remember, honestly.
I feel like it was. I think DeLaurier was out, and he's third or fourth line. If I'm remembering this correctly.
Usually fourth, yeah. Grant, yeah, if I'm remembering. And,
I
don't remember who else is on that.
I could be wrong on my memory of that, but it was one of the bottom two lines anyway. Yeah, they had been out there for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just with that continued pressure there, Daryl Sutter, the coach for the Flames, was able to get that top line of Lindholm, Tkachuk, and Gaudreau out there. And
there
was no stopping it at that point.
No. No way. So, last thing I want to say here is this kind of relates to both games, honestly, but just because this was his first game of the season, Josh Mahura. I thought he was very quiet, but I think that's a good thing for him because he's just a solid, you know, shutdown defenseman. He was not very noticeable. There was maybe only a couple times where I was like, okay, that was a really solid play. But for the rest, he was quiet, and I think that's very beneficial for him.
Yeah, you're definitely right about being quiet, because I honestly hadn't even thought about him until you had texted
Hello? Hello? He's gone. It's always when he's talking, too. He never cuts out when I'm talking, which maybe means I'm have to talk more. But I do know what I was going to say. That, yeah, I texted Nate that one of my buddies knows Mahura, and I shouldn't say buddies, acquaintances knows Mahura, and told me that he was going to be in the game in Calgary. So, and Nate, honestly, like, I think probably forgot about him. So that's all I have to say about that. If he wants to add anything to that, I'll let him do so after the break. For now, we'll send it over to our friends at DraftKings. Make sure and use promo code THPN at sign up for exclusive offers. And I will see you guys on the other side of the break. And hopefully you'll see Nate as well.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this week? Well, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, it's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, and bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and you can win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win. With promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Was there anything you wanted to say here, Nate, about Mahura?
I was going to say, yeah, he was, I could tell he was pretty quiet because I didn't actually think about him until you texted me about him specifically. I was like, yeah. Oh shit, yeah, Mahura.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
That's all I was saying.
Gotcha.
My computer decided to crap out on me. Again, this is not a live TQR episode unless my computer craps out on me.
Exactly.
Hopefully soon I can get it replaced.
Hopefully. All right, let's transition here to game four. Oilers 6, Ducks 5.
Mission failed. We'll get them next time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Scored 5 goals and still couldn't win the game. But we scored 5 goals.
Which is a win?
I'd say so.
It's a loss, but it's a win?
It's
what's our win sounds?
It's a tie. I have ooh, and then air horn and applause.
Let's go the air horns. Why not? 5 goals by the Anaheim Ducks. Did we do that once last year?
Okay, so I actually looked this up.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I came prepared. Don't you worry. We did it. Well, I looked over the last 2 seasons. Oh, wait, so yeah, last year, yeah. I guess. And I guess it also includes this season, but we only did that once, obviously. We can figure that out pretty quickly. And we had scored 5-plus goals in a game 5 times, so including this game. So we did it 4 times last year.
Did we?
We beat the Kings 6-5 once. That was in March. In May, we beat the Kings 6-2. So the Kings.
The Kings.
There was this last game we just talked about. We beat the Avalanche 5-4 in March last year.
I forgot about that one.
And then in April, we beat the Sharks 5-1.
So California, and we got lucky against Colorado.
Somehow, yeah. They must have. I want to look at the report on Natural Stat Trick here. I want to know who they iced. Let's go.
Oh, that's lines March, though. Like, Colorado's still icing their normal lines, no?
Yes. Yeah, it looks like everyone you would expect. Rantanen was in there. Landeskog. Actually, MacKinnon was out that game, it looks like.
Okay.
So, There we go. That's why.
Just Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah.
He still also has an all-star lineup there in Colorado, yeah. But...
they also played Hunter Miska that game.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So...
all right. Still, though, that's impressive that we even got five goals. It's impressive that we've done it five times over, you know, the start of this season and last season.
Mm-hmm. Just to wrap this up and provide context, over the last two seasons, we allowed 5+ goals 14 times.
Oof, okay.
That's too many. So.
Yeah, that's an oof.
Again, that includes the game against the Oilers that we just played.
So, yeah.
13 times last season, which out of 56. Hey, Siri, what's 13 divided by 56? 23%.
That was so much Siri there. Jesus.
My phone and my watch decided that they both wanted to tell me. So.
Oh my God. I was going to say, I have my phone here charging. I have my watch on. I have my iPad here as well. Turn all of them on and see what we get.
But yeah, 23%. So essentially a quarter of the games we let in 5+ goals. Are you kidding me? That's bad. I mean, okay. That includes this last season, but a quarter of our last 60 games. I guess I could have done that in my head. 14 divided by 60. That's not hard. But, well, 15 divided by 60 is 20. Sorry. We don't need to listen to Carter do mental math on live on TQR.
Let's just, at least the defense has been better over the last four games.
Exactly.
So, and like, okay, so yeah, what I was talking about earlier, this is, I'm pretty sure I brought this up during our way too early season predictions. Mm-hmm. These are exactly the type of games that I expect, and you better get used to as an Oilers fan.
Yeah.
you better get used to these games where you're winning at like 6-5, 7-6, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So because,
don't worry.
Because the Oilers are high scoring. I also, is it also like a bit of a Ducks win to the fact that we only kept Connor McDavid to 3 points? That's actually kind of impressive.
Yeah. That's like league average, I would say. Yeah.
And I think two of the points came on the power play, which is probably, you know, just 3 points for them, really. When you have McDavid and Dreisaitl. Well,
yeah, one of them was the 5-on-3 power play, which
it's honestly like, that's just putting cheat codes on. That's all it is. Yeah.
You know how in football you can deny a penalty?
Yeah.
Right? Just to like, you know, you smooth things along. Like, I feel like there should be a rule implemented, not just for the Oilers, but like for teams like Tampa Bay and Boston and Washington as well. We're like, if you give up a 5-on-3, can you just like deny the penalty and just give them a free goal? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I feel like that should be the case because it would save everybody a lot of time, I think.
Yeah,
and it would actually probably be beneficial because you have more time on the clock at even strength to try and make that goal back.
Exactly. But I mean, three points only for McDavid. That's pretty good.
Yeah, four points for Dreisaitl, so less good, but.
Yeah, so 7 points between two guys. Fuck, that's not fair.
It's really not. Can you imagine all the fantasy teams out there that somehow got McDavid and Dreisaitl? I don't know how you would do that, but.
Trades. That's literally the only way because I'm pretty sure on Yahoo this year they were 1-2.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the only way it's happening.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I mean, there you go. It's exactly what I thought from the Oilers, and I can't wait to see more games like that from the Oilers, that it's going to be just high scoring against because their defense is offensive. They're not defensive at all. Their defense, their defensive play is garbage, honestly.
Yeah.
The only reason that they were close even for a little bit, and even then it was kind of meh, was because of Mike Smith until he left the game after the fourth goal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which I believe you have something that you want to say here about that.
Yeah. So on my personal Twitter, I did say that he was chased from the net. I had a bunch of Oilers fans getting in the comments about it. And in fairness, they didn't say, and I didn't realize that he was, it seemed like he tweaked something actually. Mm-hmm. Until I think it was like midway through the third period that it got brought up on the broadcast. So,
were you watching the sport?
Yeah, I was watching the Sportsnet. Electric Sports Net. So
gotcha.
But yeah, I was, man, the amount of salty Edmonton fans, though, it's like you won the game, but you're still going to bitch about somebody saying that he got chased from the net instead of that he got hurt. Like, what the fuck, you guys?
There's people on Oilers Reddit and Twitter and Facebook and all the other social media. Somehow, they're upset about starting the season 3-0, and I don't get it. I have no idea why.
You are literally perfect. How?
Yeah, I don't know.
Upset about that. We're 2-2, and I'm fucking over the hill about it.
This is my point. They're fucking insane, dude. Like,
what the fuck?
I know this like goes back. It's kind of like that line from the recent season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where it's like, I think I'm one of the good ones. I'm one of the good Oilers fans. You know, like Jake is like, I'm one of the good cops. Don't worry. Yeah. You know. But like,
I don't know.
I like to think I am.
You are one of the good ones. And that's coming most from times. Flames Ducks fan, right?
So, yeah. Which means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. But Oilers fans just need therapy. They all just need to go to therapy. And it's not allowed to be group therapy or it's going to turn into a fucking riot. You all just need to go to therapy, all right? Just lay down on the couch and just vent about the fact that Connor McDavid only got 3 points against the Anaheim Ducks and move on with your lives, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, there's people that are upset about that as well. It's like, how does McDavid only get 3 points against a garbage team like Anaheim? And I'm like, chill the fuck out. He got 3 points, and also Anaheim's a good team.
That's three more points than you're ever gonna score in your career.
Yeah.
Like, fuck out of here. I mean, just that makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't. Anyways, back to Ducks wins. I think going 4-for-6 on the penalty kill is a win against
the Edmonton Oilers power play. Yeah, pretty good, actually. Mm-hmm. I forgot that I put that stat there. That is very good, actually. So, again, our special teams just doing better. Let me just double check if we even had power play time.
We had one power play.
One power play?
Yeah.
And we didn't score on it, I bet you.
No. It was a short one. It was like 30 seconds or whatever.
Oh, right.
It was like, I think it was in the middle of the second where it was just like a slew of penalties. So
yeah.
For both sides. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So man, we played a physical game. Hits were,
did we?
We had 29 hits that game. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's good.
Me playing Chell levels.
Yeah. It got pretty intense in the third, to be fair.
Yeah, it did.
With how close the game was, it got very physical. So
yeah, it did.
Which was cool to see, especially to reignite that division rivalry a little bit with, really, the teams are totally different from the 2017 playoffs. Like, there's few guys that overlap. So
yeah, exactly. Ryan Kesler has a reality show on Sportsnet. He's not grabbing pads or whatever.
Hey, we don't talk about that. But you're right.
Okay, anyways. I'm able to talk about it, and like, not even like, I was watching that game, and completely non-biased. Like I said, I can do before. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not gonna say something I'm gonna get backlash for, but like, probably shouldn't have happened. So yeah, moving on.
Sam Steele. Let's talk about him.
Steele had a homecoming night. Jesus Christ, the Sherwood Park native scoring two goals. He was out for the last three games, right? He was recalled there with Jones and McTavish getting put on the IR, which is unfortunate, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, yeah, still showing. You shouldn't just send me down to San Diego. I need to be here. So
yeah, when Jones and McTavish come back, it's going to be tough to decide who plays and who doesn't. Because
I love that we have that internal competition, and it's not just it's not just to be there. It's to actually play, right? Yeah. Like it's guys that want, like, are driving to win. Mm-hmm. So, that second goal was also beautiful. I thought just the patience by Steele get around Smith there. Yeah. That was awesome.
He was so good to
watch.
Yeah, I wasn't even mad about that. Obviously, when I was watching this game, I was rooting for Edmonton. They're, sorry to say, but they're my number one. But I couldn't even be mad about that. I was like, damn, dude, that was a hardworking goal. I hope we see more of that from Steele, because I think that's the way he has to play, and that's what I've expected from him over the last couple of years, honestly, and just haven't seen. So the fact that he's playing that way, or did play that way in this game, I hope that he continues it.
Yeah. Okay, I got one more question for you, I guess, before we just get maybe a couple quick general thoughts or whatever.
Sure.
If Steele had scored a third goal, because he was from Sherwood Park, which is like a suburb of Edmonton, would hats have been thrown on the ice? Or would the Oilers fans have just booed?
I mean, I don't think there'd be any Oilers fans throwing hat. Well,
maybe.
Maybe. Just maybe. Because
where
did he play junior? Did he play junior in Edmonton?
I don't remember offhand.
I want to say he did, or at least in Alberta. Sam Steele, HockeyDB, that'll get us there.
Good old HockeyDB.
Oh, no, he played for Regina. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like there would have been a few.
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out, actually, to somebody. At Maddie Deman. He was representing the Ducks last night in Edmonton. So
nice.
Yeah, he just
very nice.
Yeah, he just replied to. It was the second Steele goal, actually. That tweet that we had put out. He just he replied with "Let's go" and a picture of him at the game. So, nice. That's shout out to Maddie there. So way to represent us in oil country.
Mm-hmm. I hope it was a fun game and you enjoyed your $12 beers.
Yeah. Oh my God.
$12 Canadian.
I forgot about that. We're going to the Oilers versus the Rangers. November 5th. That game is. The low retirement, which that'll be kind of cool. I actually haven't been to a Jersey retirement for really any. Oh no, actually, sorry. I guess I was at the one Tigers one. Who was that? But I mean, the NHL is obviously so much different, and
I think they'll
low being a part of those 80s. Teams for the Oilers and whatnot. It's gonna be an event, but we'd gotten those tickets before that was announced, actually, so it was a bit of a surprise for us.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I think had we bought those tickets after that was announced, we'd been paying three times what we're paying.
That was very well timed for sure.
Yeah, it was good. So but I'm excited for that game because we also went to we've gone to Edmonton versus Winnipeg New Year's Eve in what was that 2017 was the year
17
the
or opened? 18
yeah
I think it was 2018 was it not
or was going into 2018 anyway
I don't remember
but it's like it was the inaugural season of Rogers Place I always forget if it's Center or Place that was something sidetrack squirrel here. Something I kind of was talking to somebody about, I think it was a couple weeks ago. I think we realized that there was like two presenting sponsors on four of the seven Canadian arenas.
Mm-hmm.
Scotiabank and Rogers.
Yeah.
So, we went to that game though. Like I'm excited to actually just go back to that building. Because obviously, like again, it's a new building and everything like that, but it's a beautiful building actually.
It's very nice.
I'd like to get there a little bit earlier to like for us to be able to explore it a little bit, right? Not feel rushed to get to our seats or whatever. So
yeah, because getting to walk around when there's not as much traffic, like you can see a lot of the cool shit that they've done.
Yeah.
So, but you don't want to get there too early because you have to like have like a good pregame to get going there. Because
you
can't afford to start on the $12 beers.
That's true. That's
but
why
you also don't want it to wear off by the end of the game. So
yeah, that's why you sneak in the flask of what kind of alcohol are we gonna go with?
Something's good.
Let's go with some Everclear.
Effective, yeah.
Very effective. You're not gonna have too many of those $12 beers. You're gonna be good for the night.
That's true. You probably don't need any. Yeah.
No.
Tying it back to this game here a little bit, because apparently it's time to get sidetracked a little bit. You have a couple other points here about the sixth Edmonton goal, the empty netter looking offside. I thought so as well.
Yeah.
It was a very lazy drag by Draisaitl.
Yeah, so, it was. So, but I mean, it also wasn't challenged. And they have like the iPads and whatever, like at their feet, right? So obviously you can saw that it looked fine, but I don't know. I almost kind of wonder if he should have tried to call for it. Because that made it 6-4. We did happen to score one more goal, but it was a little too late, unfortunately, right? But it, do you think it would have been worth it to challenge?
I don't know, honestly. Just to talk about the offside, because I only really remember seeing it from more ice level rather than top down. And it wasn't so much of a foot drag, but he lifted his foot. So, which is obviously fine nowadays because they have the vertical plane. So, but obviously seeing it from that angle, when it's lifted, you would see more white between the skate and the blue line. So I think that's why it looked offside. I think the coaches get more of a top-down kind of look at it.
Down look, yeah.
So that makes me think that it probably wasn't obvious because there wasn't even a discussion about it. There wasn't like they didn't even show Eakins really looking at the iPad. It was just, no, let's go. So
he's gone. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I don't think it was offside just based off of how quickly they got going at it. So no, I don't think they should have.
Okay.
I think not challenging was the right call.
Okay. I was more just for sake of conversation kind of thing. So
yeah, you're right though. From what we saw on the feed, it definitely looked offside.
Yeah.
So,
but,
what else do you have to say here?
I got one more nitpick. And again, because I was watching the Oilers broadcast, his name's not Stolarz. Stolarz.
Yeah. That kind of bothered me too.
That was bothering me the entire game.
To be fair, though, at least he was close. You called him Stalock for pretty much all of last
year. Okay, I'm just mixing up guys at that point, though. It's not me incorrectly saying his name. Which well, I don't know what's worse, but I don't know what's worse. Like me confusing the two guys like a few times, or hearing Stolarz for 3 hours of broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, someone should have told him. Like,
yeah.
You can't tell me Louis DeBrusque doesn't know.
Yeah, like, exactly. So, especially with a name like DeBrusque, right? Like, he's probably had to correct a few people because, like, even that could get tweaked a little bit the wrong way, not like sound correct.
DeBrusque.
So. DeBrusque.
DeBrusque.
This makes it sound German. DeBrusque.
Yeah. Louis DeBrusque.
See, now I don't want to check if that name's actually like what's the origin of that last name.
You can do it in our next break here.
That's good.
Which I think we can get to right away here, unless you have anything else you want to say about the Oilers Ducks game.
I got nothing else about that game specifically.
Okay, sounds good. Well, let's throw it to break then, and I will let you look that up. And if you don't find it, I will be very disappointed in you.
All right.
What's up, y'all, and greetings from the hockey city of Smashville, home of the Nashville Predators, and home to a new hockey podcast, the Catfish and Ice Podcast, a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Join hosts Chad Benton, Rich Howe, and Colin Blewin every week as we bring to you hard-hitting and unfiltered Nashville Predators hockey analysis, while also diving into the entertainment and music world here in Music City. We have a lot of fun doing it. Now is the time to join us for the ride, hockey fans. New episodes of the Catfish and Ice Podcast every Tuesday and Friday. Download the Catfish and Ice Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Did you find it?
So, the history of the DeBrusque name originates from an unknown background, supposedly. With what I'm seeing, it is, but it isn't.
It's a shit answer.
The highest density, though, of it is in Canada.
Okay.
So, and with like a couple in the States, but that's about it. Okay. So, yeah.
So, it must be of, well, no, I don't even know, because it doesn't sound like an English name, even though.
Yeah, DeBrusque.
Maybe French, like French mixed with something.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. That's weird though, but also super cool. Yeah. It's like a Canadian origin or American origin, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Okay. Just on to some general thoughts here now, just on the last or first four games of the season, really. So let's start with the Ducks being 2-2 in the first week. Did you expect that?
No. Simple answer. No, yeah. I did not expect that, honestly. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I would have been happy if we were 1-3, honestly. Yeah. So because these were a tough first four games. Mm-hmm. Winnipeg, Minnesota, Calgary, Edmonton, all teams that are projected by most to be top three minimum playoffs, like with wild card.
They're projected to be playoff teams.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's impressive. So I'm pretty happy about that. So, and honestly, if we were to continue on this kind of a pace, there is a chance they could actually make the playoffs.
Yeah, if we go
as
on
ridiculous
hot streak,
as that
yeah.
sounds, mm-hmm. 50% can get you in.
In a division like this, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, so. Absolutely. So that'd be interesting.
It would be.
What are the odds that you put money on Anaheim to win the cup this year?
What's the minimum I have to put? Like $5?
Yeah, sure.
You show me how, as much as I do the ad reads, I have no idea how to do DraftKings. You show me how and I'll do it. I'll put $5 down on that.
Honestly? Just straight up?
Yeah, I'll put $5 on it.
Okay, sick. I don't even know what the odds are now. I'm curious here.
Yeah, I wonder if you can even do it though, because I guess they were put in.
Oh yeah, yeah, you can do it. They just adjust the odds based off of how the teams are doing. So Buffalo probably has the worst odds ever right now because they're 3-0, which is insane. Just while I'm finding the odds here, you had a note here about Trevor Zegras. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, just, man, so many we know this guy can pass, right? Like, so many beautiful passes. I believe it was it the game against Calgary, I think? He faked a between-the-legs shot to throw off his defender to send a cross-crease pass. Who the fuck, you know, thinks of that, let alone just does it on a whim?
Yeah, right.
like that is creativity at its finest.
Yeah.
Just so many passes by Zegras. Luckily, he was able to, you know, a couple guys were able to capitalize on it. Shattenkirk, you know, with that very first goal against Edmonton, but man, so many more of those chances should have been capitalized because of the plays that Zegras was making, right? Like that is on the finishers there. They gotta finish those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Absolutely. It's quite unfortunate. Like, he's playing with Henrique and Raquel, who are those finishers, so I don't get why. And it's not like Henrique and Raquel have had bad games either. It's just, like, are they not expecting the beautiful pass from Trevor Zegras? Are they just this guy's a kid? Like, I really don't know. So
they apparently didn't watch the tape on him before he got there, so.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, tying it back here. The odds for the Ducks to win the Stanley Cup this year are plus $12,500. So if you put $100 down, you win $12,500.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So a $5 bet gets you $630 if the Ducks win the cup.
Sure. Let's do it.
Just for context here as well. Let's not do conference. Let's do to win the division. Let's just see. Because, you know, Edmonton doesn't have defense. Calgary's 0-3 to start the season, or 0-2, sorry. Vegas has lost their top two scorers. It's very possible.
Rip my one fantasy team. Jesus, I got Pacioretty on one of them.
Anaheim is plus 10,000 to win the division. So
okay, what's it to just make the playoffs?
So $505 if you did that. Just to make the playoffs. Let's see if they have that one. They should.
Because that one actually I'd probably be the one to go for.
Yeah.
That's the most realistic one.
They don't have one just to make the playoffs. At least on the one that I normally use, which they're not paying us, so I'm not going to.
Fair enough.
Go on it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know. You'll have to show me the DraftKings.
For sure. Actually, we can't because we're in Canada with DraftKings. They haven't got there yet. But
oh, you're right. Yeah. I thought we might have been able to do it with the fantasy, but I guess not.
No. Yeah, it is. It's legal in Alberta, but not all of Canada to.
Okay, gotcha.
To bet on
there should games there and should stuff, be so. A way though that we can bet. There should be a way.
So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Moving on here. I had a point here about the Ducks being sixth in blocked shots per game with 16.5, which
damn.
Which normally sounds good, but it kind of scares me considering we're still giving up 40 shots a game regularly.
What I've been finding, and the maps do kind of help with that. They've been outside or bad angle shots.
Yeah,
that's, and kind of like I fair, talked really yeah. quickly about the last episode, I don't mind giving those up as long as we don't get beat on them, and it's mm-hmm. definitely hard to do that. If that's what we're if those are the shots that we're getting, it doesn't really matter to me.
There's still a lot from right in front of the net. Like there's a lot from the outside, but there's just like a big red dot right in the middle of the net, and that also scares me. I mean, Gibson is obviously lights out, so it's not the biggest of deals.
And Stolarz played against McDavid and Draisaitl. I'm not honestly. I saw a couple people being like Stolarz has to. I'm like, it's McDavid and Draisaitl, won by Cassian. That like it's just like let's calm down for a second because he was great all of last year and he was fantastic against Minnesota.
He was still fantastic in these games too.
Yeah. Just sometimes you get beat. It happens. And it's not entirely your fault. So let's relax, people. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I know that he's not Ryan Miller, guys. Like, I know in my heart that it just will never be the same. But he's still solid. Come on.
He's better than Ryan Miller was
last year. Last year, yeah. We don't talk about last year for Ryan Miller. Okay? He retired 2 years ago on top, on his own terms, okay?
Sure. All right.
that's what we're going with. Okay.
But then he loses the American games played, I think.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. We do have to acknowledge it, unfortunately.
Yeah. But I mean, if we just consider the games that he played as part of like the end of the 1920 season before the world ended, then he still has it. So
yeah.
Say that. That's our story.
All right, sounds good. That works for me.
Now we just have to rewrite history, and then we have, what's it called? Oh, the Mandela effect. Yeah.
Sweet. So, all right, let's do it.
Okay. I don't know. The blocks per game being one of the top teams in the league kind of concerns me a little bit. I hope that it evens out. But if we're giving up 40 shots a game and blocking on average 16 shots a game, that's a lot of shot attempts, I feel. So.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. But yeah. We'll see. We'll reevaluate in a couple weeks. But, last thing here on Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts blog, he talked about how the Ducks could be a power broker, which essentially he just means we could move guys at trade deadline or before. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of UFAs. I have their names here. I just want to make sure I got them all. Ryan Getzlaff, Hampus Lindholm, Josh Manson, and Rickard Rakell are all unrestricted free agents going into the offseason. All very good players that could help out a playoff team, so it's very possible we could move those guys for picks, prospects, whatever it might be. And according to Elliot Friedman, could be quite a big, or could be quite likely, I guess. So,
high chance of it. Rakell's going to be the guy who would bring the most, but again, you have to find the right dance partner. Because what was the ask for him? I think it was
a first and something.
Yeah, it was a first and something. Like it was pretty high on like even for Rakell. Like somebody will bite on it, but it's no wonder that it didn't happen last year, right? So, there were definitely teams that could have used a Rakell, and he honestly he maybe could use a change of scenery. It might be beneficial to him. So it doesn't seem like it this year as much, which is nice, but.
I'm glad he's having a bounce back, but you're right. It definitely, if I was to pick one guy for us to lose, I would want it to be Rakell just because I think it would benefit him the most.
Yeah. So. And it would benefit us as well and what we could get.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we'll get a first for him now because he still had a year left on his contract last year.
Yeah. So
going into free agency, it might be a little less, but I still think the ask could be for like a second or a third plus a
prospect. Second and a decent prospect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if there's multiple teams interested, it'll be a second and a prospect for him. So, I think that'll be interesting to see. Obviously, this depends on the Ducks not keeping their current pace and unfortunately getting a worse pace on the season. But it's interesting to think about anyway.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So, okay. Anything else you want to add here?
Got nothing else.
Okay. Well, I will throw it over to you then for some What's Quacking.
All right. So I know we're both... maybe me a little bit more than you, but we're both, you know, pretty big pop punk fans here at the Quack Report, right?
Yeah.
What's your opinion on country music?
If it's not by Johnny Cash, I could do without it.
Okay.
Or now, Garth Brooks. That guy slaps too.
I was like that for a while, and then I kind of realized more, if you haven't seen the one song skit, I guess, by Bo Burnham, about stadium country music, go watch that. He basically sums up what I don't like in country music.
Yeah.
But like older country to say like 2006, 2008 kind of thing, that like they more had stories. They were actually kind of personal and whatnot. Like I like that kind of stuff. So, and there is still a lot of
blues country, right?
Yeah. There is still a lot of good country out there. Don't get me wrong, but stadium country is what I don't like, the stuff that's just about, as Bo Burnham explains, you know, it's guys who are talking about a hard day's work who have never worked a day in their life kind of thing.
Big truck, cold beer, jeans.
Yeah, exactly. Now I am going to turn you on to country music with example. All right.
Okay.
Country music, good country music, we'll say. All right, like the stuff that I was saying is not like the stadium stuff that actually has some personality to it and whatnot, and it's not just the cookie cutter crap. Country music is just twangy pop punk.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that supposed to change my mind?
This example will help me prove this point.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's see.
So this is a country rendition of Perfect by Simple Plan.
Hello there, listen to this.
Honestly,
you see what I mean?
Okay, honestly, that doesn't sound too different from the original. Yes, his voice is different. That I'll give.
Yeah,
obviously.
Like there's like it's the country aesthetics to it though, right? But the lyrical content is similar. Now, I have another game that we're going to play here in just like in just a minute or so.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to put together a game actually that it's going to be, is this a pop punk lyric or is this a country lyric? And I'm gonna have you try to distinguish.
Okay,
just to help prove this point, I think.
Okay, not today,
it'll be another time. So I didn't have time for it. I kind of thought of it like as we were making the outline and whatnot. I was like, oh, okay, I mean, I can make a game out of this. So I will try to put that together when school's not kicking my ass.
That's fair.
But as I said, though, I do have a game for us to play, and it's going to get a little steamy. All right.
Oh, dear. Okay.
So the game that we're going to play is I've asked a couple friends to fill in the blank. All right. That are outside the show. So it's things you can say at or in blank, as well as in the bedroom.
Is this like a... This sounds like Family Feud, kind of.
Kind of ish.
Okay.
So, but I had some friends just fill in the blank.
Okay.
And it's our job to figure out things that can be said in both places or
in insert place yeah. here and the bedroom. Okay.
Yeah.
I love this kind of shit, honestly. This is so funny.
All right. So let's go with, because they actually, like the two friends that I asked actually gave us some decent ones. Shout out to Adam and Kaylee. Okay, let's just go right into potential darkness here.
Okay.
Things you can say at the hospital and in the bedroom.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. We could have some fun with this one for sure. You've obviously had some time to think about this, so if you want
to... I've tried not to, actually, but I do have... our friend Adam gave us this one, and he gave one for the hospital.
Okay.
So things you can say at the hospital and in the bedroom, pull the plug.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Okay, I did actually think of one, though. So for the hospital,
Better than this one. There's no way.
All right, sir, this might be a bit of a new sensation for you.
Like I said, not better than pull the plug. Yeah, you're right.
All right, do you have anything here? We can give you a second.
Honestly, there's no way I'm topping pull the plug. So
okay, should I just give you a new?
Just place give me a new one. Yeah, just okay. Give me a new place. Yeah.
Let's go with things you can say at school and in the bedroom.
This is kind of an obvious one, I think, but you could throw it back a couple episodes ago. Sorry, teacher, I didn't get my homework done.
But aren't both of those just said at the school, though? Because I mean, unless your teacher happens to be in your bedroom.
No, I'm thinking like the actual bedroom.
Okay. You
know? Yeah.
Okay.
Or presumably wherever you watch such media.
Yeah. Okay.
Things you can say in school and in the bedroom.
At school and in the bedroom.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
And it's a hard line to toe because there's, you know, yeah. Those are very different places. I'll just say
very,
that.
Very different places.
Oh, man. Do you have anything for this one?
Hey, don't put that in your mouth.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You want another one?
Sure.
Okay. No, I want to save that one for last specifically.
Okay.
No, that one's a little similar. Okay. Things you can say to your boss and in the bedroom.
Things you can say to your boss and in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like there's a lot of potential with this one.
Okay. You have anything off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head.
I have an idea. I'm just trying to place say it correctly in my head.
Yeah. I'm trying to put it into something short and hilarious as well. Things you can say to your boss and in the bedroom. Also, if anyone listening to this as well, feel free to chime in.
Comments.
I don't have them booked up.
Yeah, so you can tweet us at Quack Report Pod if you have any ideas for any of these that we're sharing here. So
yeah, what have we've done? Hospital, school, and
to your boss. Yeah.
It has a lot of potential, harder, but it's actually, tough.
Yeah,
it's very tough.
I couldn't piece this one together as well as I wanted to.
No, that's okay. Let's come back to it. Let me think on it a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So I got two more here actually.
Okay.
This one is, I think, perfect timing because we just had it in Canada and it's going to happen relatively soonish. I guess it's like maybe a month away still. In the States, though, things you can say at Thanksgiving dinner with your family and things you can say in the bedroom.
Things you can say at Thanksgiving dinner and in the bedroom?
Yeah.
This isn't really something you can say per se. It's more of an action, but you can definitely be just raw, elbow deep inside of one thing or another.
When you're making, oh my god, okay,
stuffing the turkey, yeah.
Oh my god,
it's not something you can say, but very similar scenarios, I think.
Oh. All right, I think I might traumatize you with that one, or with this one here.
Okay.
I'm next after Grandma.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
No! God! No! God, please, no! 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 No!
I knew there was a reason that I suggested that for a sound.
Yeah, we found its true purpose.
Oh. Okay, I think we let that one sit and marinate for a little, for enough time.
Yeah, I think
all
so.
Right. I think we can wrap it up with this one here to tie everything full circle.
Okay.
Things you can say at a hockey game and in the bedroom.
You're right. That is full circle. Well, hockey game and in the bedroom.
I got one. I got one if you need a second to think.
Yep, go for it.
Just put it in already.
Yeah.
Or the flip side. Hey, get it out of there. Get it out of there.
That's better, honestly. Oh man. I thought I'd be good at this, but the pressure's on.
Oh. Okay, I got one more, but I don't know if this reference is just a Canadian thing or if it was the States as well. I feel like it's just a Canadian thing. Okay, but you remember the mini sticks commercial? At first, it was like the mini goalie helmets. So you had the miniature goalie who's only like 3 inches tall. But then the year after, they had the mini sticks, and it was like the 3-inch player, right? Five hole. I mean, I guess that's just like a hockey reference too. I was trying to do it with the accent though.
Yeah.
But if that was just a Canadian thing though, definitely search up like the McDonald's mini sticks commercials on YouTube. God, those are fantastic. The goalie quotes I say all the time still.
Yeah. Nice save, no goal of. Yeah. That's my favorite. 100%.
I remember the player one though. It's just like, I am hockey star. I have my own car from Russia with glove side. Oh, but all right. Do you have any for the hockey game?
Honestly, I don't. No, I'm sorry. I'm such a letdown.
That's okay. I know you'll do better with the next game of Is It Country or Is It Pop Punk?
I think so.
So we'll have some fun with that.
We tried
one.
And but we failed. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to try to search bands that like, I don't think you know as well their lyrics. So like, it's probably not going to be say like Fall Out Boy in there or something like that. Like the bands honestly, that I know you know, but
I don't know many Fall Out Boy lyrics because I don't know what he's saying most of the time.
Okay, so fair enough.
If you went and took some of the old stuff, I'd be like, dude, this could be anything. Actually, that one might be obvious because those lyrics are pretty obscure, but yeah.
That's true.
If you took from some deep cuts, it might throw me a little bit. So
I will see what I can put together though for hopefully one of the next two episodes. So I'll try to put another game together. So
sounds good.
But
okay. Was that it?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, cool. Well, we didn't even talk about upcoming games. Jesus.
No, we did not. Thursday against the Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg at 5 PM Pacific, and Saturday, at Minnesota at 3 PM Pacific. Man, that's going to be an early game on Saturday.
A little bit, yeah. Honestly, I don't even give a shit about the Minnesota game. I only want
this Winnipeg game. Oh, that's gonna be good. That is already gonna be a game to watch just because of how that first game went down. This is gonna be a good game to watch.
I can't wait for Gibson to take 5 penalties and like a fighting major.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be awesome. After the 2 he already had in that first game.
Yeah. What would that be? 5 minors would be 15 minutes in penalties for the goalie.
Yeah. I think with the 5 minors alone, he might be ejected. I could be wrong on that one though.
Yeah, probably.
But because there is like a cap that you get to, but yeah.
Okay, here's a question, because I know goalies obviously don't serve penalties.
Okay.
Would they have to serve a misconduct? Like if they got a 10-minute misconduct, would the backup have to come in for that?
Because
obviously if they got a game misconduct, the backup.
Yeah, game misconduct, they're gone. I actually am not sure. Yeah, I believe so, but let me see if I can find that out, actually.
Yeah. Do you want to see if we can find that out for next time, or do you want to...
I'm just searching it right now.
Okay. I'm also searching it, so we'll divide and conquer here.
Okay. In the event of misconduct penalties to any player except the goalkeeper, the player shall be ruled off the ice for a period of 10 minutes each. So except the goalkeeper. So a goalie can get a 10-minute misconduct and still remain on the ice.
Really?
That's under Rule 28 misconduct penalties in the NHL rulebook.
Interesting. This is more just a fun story, though. This is on Bar Down. College goalie receives 10-minute misconduct and gets sent to the penalty box. So there's a goalie.
What?
In college. That's insane.
Huh. All right.
Received a 10-minute misconduct on the play and sat for the remainder of the game inside his team's penalty box. That's wild.
College is nuts, man.
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, I guess that's just an NHL thing with the goalie.
I feel like that's actually just incorrect even for college. That has to be incorrect.
Yeah, I'd say so as well.
Because it's
like they would follow the NHL on that.
Yeah, because it's like normally for hockey, it's somebody either serves it except the goalie and the goalie remains on the ice, or the goalie's ejected.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So if it is a goalie, does somebody else serve it? Is that
for a misconduct? Case? Yes, somebody else serves it. Misconduct, and they remain on the ice. Yes, and misconducts can be under charging, clipping, elbowing, fighting off the playing surface, headbutting, which we've already seen 2 cases of this season around the NHL.
Yeah, wild.
Inciting an opponent into incurring a penalty. Let's look into that one. Intervening in an altercation. So probably like third man in, essentially.
Yeah.
Kneeing, not properly tied down during an altercation. I'm assuming that's referring to the fight straps.
Oh, yeah.
Obscene language or gestures, persists in continuing an altercation, removing jersey prior to altercation, resisting a linesman in the discharge of his duties. I want to check that one out. What does that mean?
Can you say that again?
Resisting a linesman in the discharge of his duties.
I mean, that's something you could say at a hockey game and in the bedroom.
Rule. Okay, here, actually, let's just don't. Oh, no, never mind. That one's apparently can't be found. Oh, shit. And I clicked off of the site. There was 2 others that were misconducts, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I was curious if a goalie ever got a misconduct. I haven't found that.
I'm assuming Ron Hextall did.
I'm assuming as well, but yeah, I want to know
of anybody, it would be him.
Yeah, but like I feel like he would just get game misconduct, right? Like I don't know if he would get a 10-minute.
Because
he did a lot of fighting. Like really, goalies get misconducts when they fight. So. I don't know. This one might take some deeper
research.
So we'll see if we can find it for a future episode as well. But
yeah.
So I think we'll wrap up this one here. Perfect. Nate, where can they DM you all of the things that you can say in the bedroom and other places?
You can DM them to me or just tweet them at me. Might as well have some fun with it. At Tate Nomas, TateNHomas, along with, of course, the Quack Report Twitter and Instagram and wherever else we are, which Carter will explain or will tell the rest of it because I'm trying not to step on his boots.
Ah, that's okay. I don't like talking anyways. So.
And yet you host a podcast. Yeah, yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, as Nate said, at Quack Report Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube, which you just have to search for that one, and at HockeyPodNet on Facebook. You can follow myself at Carter_Potts, POTTS_97. Ducks on their way to 80-2-0 on the season. Let's go, Ducks. Fuck you, Winnipeg. See you guys next time.